You're listening to the West End Frame Show.
Hello and welcome to the West End Frame Show. I'm your host and West End Frame editor, Andrew Tomlins, and I'm super excited to introduce you to today's returnee co-host. His theatre credits as a performer include doing The Snowman in the West End and on tour internationally and across the UK, the London 2012 Paralympics opening ceremony, and he was cast in the 2019 UK tour of the Regent's Park's production of To Kill a Mockingbird. He's done various productions for Deaf Men Dancing, he's done workshops, and he is choreographed, but you probably know him for his time in the ensemble of Wicked in the West End. Originally, he was in the show for 4 years, from 2015 to 2019, and then returned just after the pandemic to be part of the show's 15th anniversary cast. Last summer, he was in the world premiere of the 101 Dalmatians musical at the Regent's Park Open Air Theatre. He is a deaf dancer and actor, and he's out here doing amazing work, raising awareness, and he's one of my faves. He was last in the pod just over a year ago, and I'm so happy that he's back in the booth. So welcome to the West End Frame Show, Joseph Fletcher!
I'm back!
Due to popular demand.
I absolutely loved it last time, and obviously we said when we finished last time we had to do this again, and here we are.
It's like an annual like check-in, I feel.
Should we do it like at the same time next year?
Yeah, let's book a date now, because you've got a busy diary, Joseph.
You're busy.
So where are you at? What's the gear? What's the pace? What's happening?
So I'm actually I'm taking a sabbatical from performing. Long story short, with a lot of people these days, mental illness is such a big thing. And towards the end of last year, it took a turn for me, and I needed to control it and navigate forward in what was helping and what was triggering. And obviously for me, the anxiety and the unknown of what we do were triggering. So I decided to take a break, take control, take some ownership, and just have a bit of stability in my life for a year or maybe two, depending when it feels right to go back. Obviously, I'm not done with performing. I'll never be done with performing. It just right now didn't feel like the place I needed to be in. And I'm prioritising myself a little bit, which is a first, I think, for me. Like, it's always been work first, you know, and then, but now I'm like, no, let look after myself, and so I'm taking a well-earned break.
Good.
There's
so much stigma around doing that in this industry, and I said, you know, people will take breaks from performing for all different reasons. Maybe they're having a family, maybe for other health reasons they've got to have some surgery or something. So mental health is just as valid and just up there.
It really is. It's a tough decision to make, because of that stigma, you do question if are you going to miss out on something, or like, are people going to forget about you? Are you then just going to fade into the background, or have you given up, or like, is it over, or will I ever perform again? What is it? You know, so making that decision was very hard. But you're right, like, there is a huge stigma around it, and there shouldn't be. Like, this is completely normal. We're human beings. We're not machines, you know. And you know, if you need to take a month or two, a year, 5 years, however long you need, just to, you know, shift gears for a little bit and see what else is out there and explore other things that interest you, etc., etc. You know, because I think once you're a performer, you're always a performer. Like, that never goes. Like, so, and the industry's always going to be there. Like, that's never going to change either. So you absolutely can come back, and, you know, and you're not a failure. You're never a failure. Even if you choose to leave the industry, like, you have to look at everything you have achieved, and, you know, it's such a tough industry to be in. Like, so any achievement you have done is always a win. So I feel like there's definitely a stigma to it. Like, and it definitely played in my mind when making this decision, being like, what do other people think? But it just got to the point where it's like, why did that matter? You know, what they think, it actually doesn't matter. It should be about how I feel and what do I want and what do I need right now. And if other people have got opinions, then that theirs, not mine. you know? Very deep. We dived in, haven't we? You've got your scuba diving gear. We're going down.
That's the West End Frame Show. This is a deep and meaningful podcast. I don't know why you're surprised. Yeah. Thank you.
It's so serious. I'm glad we're actually talking about it because I do think it's important to talk about it and know that it is okay to take a break, take a moment, take a breather.
Well, I think it's the whole thing about this industry that we really struggle with, which is success and what is success and how do you measure success? There's people who maybe start performing and then go and pursue something else full-time or long-term, and they kind of say, oh, well, you know, they kind of say that they maybe think they're a bit of a failure, they're not successful. No. And it's like, no. Especially if you're able to work in any area or performing arts in some broad way.
Absolutely.
Use those skills you've gained from performing arts performing in a different career, a different industry. That's still success.
Absolutely. I always tell my students when I teach that you get to define your success. And it doesn't matter what that is. As long as you feel that success. Okay.
Yeah. As long as
don't
you feel
move on the seat, Andrew.
There's a squeaky chair. I thought I'm really, really good at not moving, but I just had to do a little readjustment there.
We all caught it. We all heard. but yeah, you know, you get to define your success. You know, it's not. No one else gets to choose that for you. And what you class is successful, if you go out and achieve that, then you have absolutely, you've done it. Do you know what I mean?
So have you taken a step away from theatre? Have you stepped foot in a theatre? Like,
I'm still working in theatre. I'm not a complete, I hate the word muggle, because but I'm not a complete muggle just yet. So I now have a full-time job backstage at Moulin Rouge.
Woo!
I know. I'm dressing now.
Yeah. Hey, sister. And you're not just a dresser. You're a swing dresser, right?
Swing dressing, yeah.
Explain to the people what that means.
So like in theatre, like in a cast, you always have a swing who will learn multiple parts. Same backstage, they're the swing dresser who will learn all of the dressing parts so that you then, should a dresser be ill or on holiday, you would step in and dress that particular track.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because that must mean you have to remember how certain costumes need to be worn and what the different bits are and the order that need to go on and all
these... 100%. Like, it's definitely a mental challenge. Like, it does require your brain. And that's what I've loved about it so far, the fact that every show has sort of been different could... You might be dressing someone different, yet alone in the car, your swing in the car might be on. So you have to obviously know what their costumes look like. And it's a lot of fun. It's definitely, it's had its moment where I've been like, crap, wrong costume. Quick, let me go back, you know. But then also at the same time, I think the longer I've been in it now, the more I'm like, the puzzle come together. And I understand exactly how this worked and who's doing what. And knowing what other people are doing in their track, maybe go, I know I can get a waistcoat from so-and-so because... That person is going to be over here in a minute.
Oh,
like,
clever.
Yeah, so I feel like I feel like as a swing dresser, we have the advantage of knowing where everything is at all times. So that should we need to run and get something, we know where it just come from or who might have last had it or where it's going to. Do you know what I mean?
And it is literally backstage choreography, as in the same dresser is in the same space backstage every night. So people don't really realise that on stage, obviously, there's tracks and there's places you have to stand and be.
Yeah.
But it's exactly the same.
It's exactly the same. Honestly, I think this is what kind of blew my mind a little bit, being like, yes, I understand that theatre work at the machine, everyone had a role to play to get a show going. But I had never really considered that everyone's role is also a show. Do you know what I mean? Even though I'm not performing on stage, I do still feel like I have that responsibility of a performer, because it's my job to make sure that A to B happen in order for C to be achieved, and then obviously et cetera, et cetera. It's just obviously not in front of an audience, so there's a lot less pressure. And it's quite nice standing in the wind watching everyone else sweat, and you're just like, I've got your hat here when you need it. You know what I mean? I quite enjoyed that. My body's like, thank you. You're welcome.
Performers often have, you hear of performers having really close relationships and bonds with their dressers. Because you're essentially you can be that, you know, it's like you're each other's cheerleader and partner, and you're helping each other get through your work.
100%. And it's like, you know, I think subconsciously, without even thinking about it, you are their support. Do you know what I mean? As much as your role is to make sure that they go on stage fully dressed and everything tucked in, dipped up and, you know, whatnot. You are there to check in, to be like, are you good? Are you okay? Can I get you water? Can I help you? How can I help you to get to the end of the show? You know, could it be, as we know, any show, the marathon, like it requires a lot of mental, physical strength, you know.
Have you been in the Satine? Have you done the Satine dressing track?
I have done the Satine dressing track, yeah.
That must be, because that, as a performer, the amount of costumes that she has.
Her track is wild. At one point, she you had a dresser, you're up in the fly tower, and you have to run all the way down, all the way back there to get into the wind, and you have a certain amount of time to do it in. Honestly, I love it. We call it the fairy run, because it's in Act Two, when she's doing the Green Fairy. It's so exhilarating, just running, like, going from the tower backstage, outside, down, like...
Satine has to go outside every night, doesn't she, to get into that, to be up there. It's crazy.
It's so much fun, though. I love the fairy. I go, wait, run, go!
And then last time you were here, you were about to go into 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah.
I think it had been announced and we were discussing it on the podcast. So now, like, what does it feel like to look back on that experience? I know that was a crazy show.
It was a mad show. That experience was...
You were chuffed to be doing it.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I don't get me wrong, it definitely came with a challenge. It was definitely a big what the hell is going on. Because I think in the rehearsal process, collectively we were all wondering what this is. Do you know what I mean? And I think, you know, there are so many different versions that we explored in the rehearsal studios, and obviously figuring out which one worked or which one translated the message better, which one worked for the audience that it catering to. So definitely the rehearsal process were intense. They were very, very intense, because obviously not only were we trying to put a show together, it was like, well, what is this show? You know what I mean? And you didn't, I don't think any of us really felt like we knew what it was until we got to the park, when things started to slot together. So it was definitely a challenge. And I loved understudying the two dogs. Like, that was definitely a challenge that I welcomed, because it meant that I could have a break from what the hell I would do in, to just focus on something else for a moment.
All the puppetry. And
all the puppetry was amazing. I absolutely loved that.
Did you ever go on?
I didn't upon go up early, but there was a situation where I did end up going on for a puppetry track that I didn't cover.
Wow.
Due to the formation of who would ill and injured that day, like, it just meant that in order for show to happen, who could step up? And I said I could probably... I watched that bit every night on stage, so I think I got the gist of what happened. So give it to me, I'll do it, and... off we went.
Oh my gosh, it's incredible. Yeah.
Definitely underestimated how heavy that puppet was, though, because it looked so easy watching it. But when I was doing it, I remember just being like shaking, like, oh my God, this is so heavy. I got to hold it now for like the rest of the song. I was like, oh crap. But that was fun. That was fun. I loved the show. I had a great time at the park. Being at the park was amazing. And we had a gloriously hot summer for it. Like, we had like one rainy day.
But did you have any heat? Was it heat wave?
Oh, weren't we in heat waves? Yeah, we were. Yeah. And, you know, and obviously the show was set like in the middle of winter. So obviously we were in like jumpers and hats and scarves. And yeah, it was well thought out. But no, it would definitely got very hot at times. But I'd rather it be too hot and too cold.
To be like drenched. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just take dry.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just grateful that we only had to have to cancel one show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because obviously, because they're such short runs anyway, you don't want to have to cancel a show. Like, you want to soak up every moment.
Of course, of course. I love it there. I can't wait to go and see. I'm going to see Once on This Island in a few weeks.
Amazing.
And
they got a great season this year.
Yeah. Like, I can't wait to find out all about
Le Cage.
Le Cage of Fool. Yeah.
I think it could be amazing.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
From what I've heard, it sounds like it could be amazing.
Bring it on. Listen, you're amazing. Are you ready to dive in with me and have a bit of a stagey catch-up?
Let's have a stagey catch-up.
Can I get your stagey on, Joseph Fletcher?
I never lost my stagey.
So, coming up, we are going to be discussing the secret life of bees and Animal, as well as all the latest news about Musical Con, the Mamma Mia casting show, A Strange Loop, and lots, lots more.
C
So, first up, let's discuss some of this week's theatre news. And as we record this on Tuesday, the Tony nominations have literally just been revealed, right, Joseph?
Oh, my God!
So, as you're listening to this at home, you've probably read them, digested them. You already have intellectual takeaways. Well, I have none of that, I'm afraid. This is live reaction. So, Best New Musical, we have Anne Juliet, Kimberly Akimbo, New York, New York, which is interesting.
Oh.
New York, New York got some negative reviews. I thought that might be
smart. And that literally came out, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah. But didn't get a good response. Shocked and Some Like It Hot. Super exciting.
Interesting.
Best Musical Revival, which is busier than usual. We've got Into the Woods, Camelot, Parade, and Sweeney Todd. Oh my gosh. That's tough. There's been lots of revivals in Broadway, actually, more than usual. Best Leading Actress in a Musical, Annalee Ashford for Sweeney Todd, Sarah Bareilles for Into the Woods, Victoria Clarke for Kimberly Akimbo, Lorna Courtney for Anne Juliet. Yes, Anne Juliet. And Michaela Diamond for Parade. Leading actor Christian Borrell. So you've got two from Some Like It Hot. You've got Josh Groban from Sweeney Todd. Brian Darcy James from Into the Woods. Then Platt from Parade.
Amazing.
Also Colton Ryan from New York, New York. So that's tough. I reckon, well, I'm going to New York in a few weeks now, start of June.
Okay.
So I can't say but I think, you know, Ben Platt surely stands a strong chance in that. Basically, lots of amazing people are nominated for lots of awards, which is super, super exciting.
I love the Tony. I wish Olivier was bigger than Tony.
I know.
Because it feels like the Tony had such a buzz about it. Like, obviously, the Olivier is amazing. But, like, I feel like it's so much celebrated so much more out there.
I know. I completely agree. I really wish that it meant more to be nominated for an Olivier Award. Means so much to be
so
nominated
much.
For
I'd love
Tony
to be
Award.
Nominated. If you're listening, I'm ready.
And also then, like, if you win the Tony, say, for Best Actor in a Musical, or Best Actress in a Musical, or something, then you will go off. Like, look at Cynthia Erivo. She won Best Actress in a Musical. And then that pushed her to new heights.
In the Wicked movie.
Well, that is maybe the perfect segue because, oh my goodness, Wicked has been popping off and it's been trying to kill me out here. With the filming and all the leaks that have been happening. So last week in the podcast booth, we were discussing all the kind of the drone footage that had been captured and some of the audio of Ariana Grande shooting the Wicked movie. But it hasn't stopped there. So although it's still in its early production, basically what happened is Universal Pictures ended their CinemaCon 2023 presentation with the first behind-the-scenes sizzle reel of director John M. Chu's adaptation of Wicked. Basically, I think there was some footage which was showing some clips from the movie and some audio from the movie, and it also then was kind of interlinked with him talking about it and how epic it's going to be. So we haven't seen the footage that they showed.
Which I'm thankful for.
But we have heard.
God. Honestly, like, I would probably, you know, I'm a big Wicked fan, you know, and obviously, like,
a bit of opera. I know, there's someone, Ariana's in here practicing, clearly.
I'm like, hey.
And there's someone on soprano going on in the background. Love it.
Obviously, I was a huge fan of Wicked before getting into Wicked, and obviously, getting into Wicked would, you know.
That
was the show for me, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like I have come back to my Wicked fan days, you know, where I cannot wait for this film. Firstly, obviously, because of my love for it anyway. Secondly, I'm just very intrigued to see how they do it. But from what we're getting so far, I think I'm going to be an emotional mess.
I mean, we got to hear two key bits for me, which was the iconic dialogue from that popular scene that we got to hear. When Miss Elfie looked beautiful, or was it that bit? And the way it was said, it was so... You know, so much smaller and so intimate and just so beautiful. I'm just excited to hear some of these lines like that in a different way, in a movie kind of way.
Yeah.
And then we got some clips from Defying Gravity.
Oh, God.
So we got to hear Cynthia's If You Care to Find Me, Look to the Western Sky.
I can't.
And she had that kind of like Rachel Tucker-ish riff kind of going up. She held the me for a bit longer and the placement was just it was epic. And then, like, I honestly, Joseph, I just initially clicked on Twitter that morning, and then I wasn't prepared to hear Cynthia Erivo's battle cry, which is the, that last bit.
Which sounded just like that, by the way.
She whatever she did, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I've never heard anything like it.
Yeah.
There was like some grit in there. It was, no one's ever done that battle cry like that. Like, it was unique. It was, if you heard that, like, if you were a non-theatre person and you heard that on the trailer, the way that Cynthia's done it, you would just go, wow, that's really good. That person can really sing. That sounds really, you know, the intention there is really strong. And oh my gosh.
I must see this movie.
Yeah, I want to see more of this.
Yeah. Agreed. I don't feel like I can talk about this forever because I just feel like I'm just so excited and there's only so much I can say about it. You know what I mean? Like, being like, how excited I am to actually see this, to hear it all. Like, I can't wait for the album to come out just so I can have it blown down my phone again. Do you know what I mean?
To
hear a new interpretation of the songs that we both know so, so well.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Joe used to be like, you're out wicked again.
Yeah. Again. But you know what I mean? Like, and it would be so refreshing to hear a new like version of.
Totally, because we only have that original Broadway cast album.
I know.
And then the German recording as well, which is also
never
fabulous.
They never did the West End version.
They never did the West End version. I wish they did a version with Rachel Tucker and Louise Dearman. I think that was just golden, stunning, amazing. Although I would happily take one now with Alexia Kadeem and Lucy St. Louis. Thank you very much, because they both sound
stunning.
I'd
happily take one from every cast that's been in there. Well, do you know what I mean? Like,
everyone would happily buy them as well.
Yeah, I would happily buy every single one. Like, this is my cast, and that's not my cast, but that's fine.
The 50th anniversary one, obviously.
I'm buzzing for the film. I'm so happy at two parts as well.
I'm happy it's two. That's the talking point. Everyone's like, oh my God, two parts. The only thing that's annoying is that it's out, part one's out next Christmas. And actually, I was thinking on the way here that I will be 30. I turn 30 next September. So now I'm suddenly not as excited anymore. Because it's basically, this film is counting down my youth.
You can't come for me at age. You know I'm older than you, so.
But that might, you can count down unapologetically.
but when the film comes out, I'll be 36.
Ah!
Yeah. Hang on, wait. No. Yeah, 36.
Scary. So next November, everybody. You'll have to come back again then. I was thinking like this.
Should we just do a Wicked movie special?
Well, I'm going to have to do a Wicked movie special week, I think.
I think you need to,
Five episodes. So I know Ben Yates will have to do one. You'll have to do one.
Yeah, bring all back people that you'd had from Wicked.
There's certain people that I could just talk about Wicked for ages. Yeah. And you're one
Maybe
of them.
Maybe also need to do a live recording whatever you're watching the film. You know, copyright here, but like just do live recording, like, oh my God.
When we come out, have the microphones as we kind of leave the cinema. I've said this already, but I'm going to sit there feeling sick the first time I watch it. I'm going to.
I feel like I'm going to be at some midnight viewing on like some 4DX cinema, you know, where my chair's move at the same time.
I'm going to feel nervous.
I'll call the ambulance, Andrew.
And then I will have to go and see it again. And the second time I'll have to have like a notebook, I think. So
and
I
just
can
process it.
Talk about it properly on here.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
But then
you'll be going a third time because you then realize you couldn't watch it the second time properly.
Yeah. I'll probably go and see it quite a few times in the cinema.
Yeah.
I saw Frozen 3 times in the cinema.
Aww.
I saw Matilda recently twice in the cinema.
That's
I can
cute.
Be a repeat offender of films.
You can.
When I want to be.
Good.
So this footage was incredible. Well, the clips that we heard. But I don't want too much more. I can't believe that I've heard battle cry and I've heard that Sophie Keller fight. I can't believe. So I'd be happy now. There's been a few more kind of drone footage of them filming the poppy scene. And there's some little bits kind of creeping out. But I'm happy. I'm happy now if it settles. I can't believe that whilst filming this, they decided to show some footage of it already.
I know.
At this convention. I think it's insane. But anyway, I need,
you need a break. You need a moment.
I need a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to revive.
But on the topic of Screen, it's all going on. So the lineup's been revealed for the brand new ITV1 entertainment show, Mamma Mia, I Have a Dream. Because, the TV reality casting shows are back. So we've found out that Zoe Ball will host the programme and that the judges will be Alan Carr, Jessie Ware, Olivier Award winner Amber Riley and Samantha Barks. It's set to launch later this year on ITV1 and ITVX, and we are going to be searching to find two future musical theatre stars to play the roles of Sophie and Skye in Mamma Mia. And basically, it's going to be a different format from what we've seen before. They're shooting, I think, the majority of it out on a Greek island. And then they're going to do the final at a theatre in the West End. So in my mind, it's kind of like Love Island meets Any Dream Will Do.
Yeah, you're giving me that vibe. I didn't know they were filming it out in Greece. Now I'm like, should I apply?
Yeah.
I could do it a holiday in Greece. I mean, no way I'll get Sky, but at least I've been out there. Do you know what I mean?
You never know. You don't know what direction they're going to go down for this.
I'm far too old to play Sky.
I'm really excited.
I'm more of a dad category now.
What? No, you're not. You're in between. You're like the vicar at the wedding or something. You're not.
Can't the vicar. Great.
You're not the dad yet.
No, the bigger, the older.
No, but look, they often cast like young. You're fine. That's like, yeah. How do you feel about these judges and about this show?
Love the judges.
I love Jessie Ware, right?
I love Jessie Ware. Alan Carr, obviously, you know he's going to bring in his A game.
And I remember that I was once watching Dreamgirls with Amber Riley and Alan Carr was sat in my row.
Great. There you
go. So he likes theatre. I listen to Jessie Ware's podcast, Table Manners.
Yeah.
And she's always talking about how she played Miss Adelaide when she was in the school production of Guys and Dolls. So she's well qualified.
She'd let that one go.
She's well, yeah. But she loves theatre. You know how, like, Adele last week was, I hate musicals, whatever she said.
No.
Yeah, Adele was slacking off theatre. Just like as a passing comment, Jessie Ware's not like that. Jessie Ware thinks musicals are really cool.
She's Adele, take that back.
Andrew Lloyd Webber came on her podcast at one point and stuff. So she loves them.
Okay, great. I also love Samantha Barks having a full circle moment.
Exactly, because she was in I Do Anything. I think she came third. And they renamed Jodie Prenger won, Jessie Buckley second, Sam Barks third, I think it was.
Okay.
And then they renamed the Isle of Man, where she's from, the Isle of Sam for the day. as part of a VT, which was really cool. So yeah, she was on that show. She came from this, and now look at her.
She's thriving.
Elsa, star of Eponine in the latest movie. So now she, as she said in her statement, she knows how they are feeling.
Yeah.
And Amber Riley, obviously, like the coolest person ever, and slayed as Effie White in the West End, and on Glee. So
I think it would be interesting. Like obviously in the past with all the other reality shows, I think it's great, a great exposure for theatre. I think the reality side of it, I'm just playing on reality TV, but because they're obviously auditioning for musical theatre performers, it kind of makes it okay. So it's not like a star-studded cast, you know what I mean? Like,
it's better. When ITV did one before, they did Grease is the Word.
Yeah.
And the judges were like David Guest, Anita.
Just random people.
And two other people, yeah. So that was quite rogue. I think some people were like, Jessie Ware, but Jessie Ware is an amazing singer, an amazing pop star, great songwriter.
She's, and as you said, supports theatre.
And supports theatre. Alan Carr is great, and he'll just be great value. And he'll bring, people love him, so people will watch the show for him.
Yeah.
And I think Zoe Ball might have presented that Grease is the Word last time. I can't remember. But she's a fab presenter, so...
But also, it means that Mummy are going to be in the West End for the next 20 years.
Exactly. But you know what? I would have loved... Maz Murray to have been a judge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she might be.
I'm sure she'll make an appearance, but I just think there's something in it. In these shows, I like it when they have one judge that is unknown. Not sort of, the cookery shows bring in unknown. Like, no one knew really who Prue Leith was before Bake Off.
No, of course.
No one knew who Lou Walsh was before X Factor. Yeah. So I think there's something to be said of maybe making a star of one of your people and doing it from within the theatre industry. There's no shortage. And obviously Maz will be playing, I assume, will be still playing Donna when this cast come in, because Maz is going to be there forever, right?
I hope so.
So she would have been a great judge. She's hilarious and also so talented.
But
you're right. I'm sure she'll maybe be featured somehow.
Surely.
And as will Judy Kramer, because Judy Kramer, the producer's all over the kind of promotional images that have been released. So I don't know if she'll do an Angela Lloyd Webber and be sat there on a throne or something.
Let's hope she is. I would like to see that, like some sort of Greek goddess throne.
Or maybe like...
Aphrodite's hand or something.
All the men in flippers will kind of carry her out the sea or something.
Something like that, you know. Oh, God, we should be the producer of this show. I feel like
a golden
vision.
Yacht.
Yeah, lovely. Brilliant.
I'm ready. I'm really excited. I can't wait for that to happen. I think we've needed to have more theatre on our screens. We've got this whole, you know, comeback of the musical movies, and now we need a new casting show on TV. Yeah. I think they provide amazing platforms for lots of great talent.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm just intrigued to see, because Sophie's a much more demanding role than Sky, so I'm just interested to see
how
that dynamic plays out on screen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Either they'll put the Sky through their paces unnecessarily, like, too much, as in...
you know they're going to. Yeah. You'll be like, can you hike the mountain? Go. Why thinning, like...
Or they'll all be, like, singing their faces off, and they really only sing a tiny little bit in the musical. Yeah. Or the Sky will be a bit of a novelty kind of casting.
Yeah.
Kind of, there'll be a lot of kind of opportunity to have bodies out and stuff. And...
Wouldn't it be more interesting if they did, like, Donna and Sophie?
Yeah, I agree. Well, just Sophie. Sophie, I think, is such a hard role. It's such a hard place to sing those songs. It's like on everyone's breaking point, right? Yeah. And you've got such a mix. So it's a really difficult role. You've got to be a really skillful singer. And also you've got to be the person to have, you know, to make everyone feel for you. You've got to have all the heart. And you've got a lot of other personalities fighting for that spotlight in that show. So I think you've got to be really skilled to play that role.
Yeah. But I just added the Sky element.
Yeah, Sky, like, I know people that are from the acting world, not from the musical theatre world, who can't sing, who have played that role, and will openly, admit that.
Yeah.
So,
well, we'll find out, won't we?
There's only one way to find
out. We'll find out.
Watch this space. In some other news, Carl Raymar Freeman will transfer with A Strange Loop to play Usher in the London production at the Barbican. Further casting includes Jason Pennycook, Charlene Hector, Danny Bailey, Eddie Elliott, and Tondi Humphrey-Sitima, which is super exciting. Alice Fearn will star in the premiere of Then, Now and Next by Christopher J. Orton and John Robbins at the Southwark Playhouse from June. Danny Hatchard, Jake Quickenden and more will star in a new touring production of The Full Monty.
Great.
Talking about running out of your top off. That's exciting. Georgina Onora will reprise her stunning performance as Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz at the London Palladium. I saw her do it in Leicester.
How was it?
And it was great. The orchestrations are amazing. And Georgina was just beautiful in it.
I can't wait. I'm definitely going to... That's definitely on my list.
It's going to be really magical. Yeah. I'm so pleased that she's back. Elf will return to the Dominion Theatre this Christmas. Rob Madge will return to the Palladium Panto this year as Tinkerbell.
Such good casting.
In Peter Pan, it's so exciting. Jennifer Saunders as Captain Hook and Julian Clary as Seaman Smee.
I'm so happy for Rob. So happy for Rob.
And then we were both on a casting announcement this week. Well, not casting announcement, but like a musical theatre announcement. Because the lineup was announced for this year's Musical Con, wasn't it, Joseph?
Musical Con it was, darling, it was.
And you're on there.
I'm on there, yeah.
Do you know what you're doing?
So I've been invited to be on a panel of discussion to discuss disability in theatre.
Do you know who might have suggested you as being a really cool person to do that?
You?
Yes!
No, what the? Well, thank you so much. I didn't know that. Thank you. When LP, I got the message, I was like, absolutely. Obviously, I can only do the Sunday, so I think hopefully the schedule is going to work out that way. But yeah, I'm really, really excited to be on the panel to talk and hopefully educate, inspire. Yeah.
It's really cool. I was there last year hosting LGBTQ+ panel.
Great. Yeah.
And also Swings and Understudies panel. And it was amazing. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. I came off of both of them buzzing.
I bet.
And even just arriving from the station to the XL Centre, just being around. I mean, there was someone in full Glinda cosplay.
Brilliant.
Immediately, there was tons of Six cosplay going on. There was just a vibe in the air of theatrical love.
Yeah.
And
that's
why
I'm excited. I'm excited to be a part of that. Like, I'm definitely going to make a day of it. Like,
however long
my panel lasted that. But I'm absolutely going to try and, like, stick around. And
but especially, I love that they could so easily not tackle the big subjects and stuff. So the Swings and Nunces one's really important, and that was great, and that was very in line with what I do. But then doing the LGBT one was kind of going beyond and discussing, you know, quite some quite serious stuff about representation and how people are treated within the industry. And oh my gosh, the conversation was electric. And then we opened it up for questions at the end, and the questions from the audience were amazing. And we all just came off like, oh, that was the best thing ever.
Good, 'cause I think that's what you want though, isn't it? You want to come away feeling like you said something and made someone listen, and, you know. Mm. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait.
I don't know what I'm doing yet, but...
Are you going to dress it up? Who are you dressing up after the show, Andrew? Come on.
Imagine if I walked out green. Mm-hmm. I would love that. No, I'll be wearing something sparkly and fabulous.
Mm-hmm. You sure about that?
But everyone, get those tickets. Go to Musical Kongs. There's so many amazing people. And you'll get to see us there.
Yay! Win-win.
Two
for the price of one.
Should I tell you what shows I've seen this week?
Yes, please tell me what you think.
I've been like a proper theatre goer, like a respectful theatre goer.
Hit me. What have you seen this week?
So I went to The Secret Life of Bees, right?
Okay, which... how is that?
You're so good at this. At the Almeida Theatre. Well, it was funny, right? Because I had no idea what I was seeing. I hadn't read the book. I didn't know anything.
Okay.
For all I knew, it could have been like the Starlight Express of bees. Like, I honestly had zilch idea of what it was about. Okay. Little did I know we were about to dive into the civil rights era and have a harrowing story and, mm-hmm. you know, all this. I actually would suggest that you were a little bit more prepared than I was, because I, in the interval, oh my gosh, I was like plodding to the toilet. Like, oh my gosh. It was just so heavy.
kind of can just envision you in the toilet now, just sat down to be like, I was like, rocking back and forth.
I need to just sit in the cubicle for a second just to have like some time alone, you know, like a safe space.
Yeah,
but for all good reasons, because it truly is incredible.
Yeah.
And just before I go into it, so you've got those insane teams. You've got a book by Lynn Nottage, music by Duncan Sheik, lyrics by Susan Birkenhead. And it's based on the novel by Sumant Kidd, and it's directed by Whitney White. So already, like, the most incredible teams. Yeah. I should have known. So basically, it's 1964, we're in South Carolina, and you meet Rosaline, who is a young black woman, and she's fighting for her right to vote. Then you've got Lily, who's a young white woman who is escaping her violent father. They kind of team up, they flee their small town together, and they seek salvation at a remote honeybee farm, which is run by the remarkable Boatwright sisters. They essentially come and join this black community of amazingness, the wonderful characters with different intentions is the wrong word, different kind of opinions of these guests that are coming to join them. Some are more welcoming, some are more dubious. And obviously it's a really difficult time. And then I won't go too much into it, but relationships are formed. Lily very much has her eyes open. She forms a relationship with a black boy, and there's some complications there because of the time, and different things happen. And essentially, as it's a story of kind of community and then self-discovery and understanding others, there's just some stunning music and some incredible performances. Rachel John is at the heart of it as one of these sisters that they come to on the honey farm, and she is just the most incredible performer. I was just watching her in awe.
Yeah.
There's just a warmth that she brings to a stage, right? Like, you know how some people, you could be the best actor, or some people are amazing and do things, but she doesn't even need to open her mouth or do anything. It's just, she brings warmth with her.
And that's a skill in itself.
And then it translates into when she sings, it kind of all looks so effortless, but she can do things that someone who's maybe doing the most complicated vocal gymnastics couldn't achieve.
She's there doing it while drinking tea. Like,
She just hit a note and it just kind of oozes out, and you just go, oh.
Don't you just hate people like that? How dare she?
I was very lucky. A couple of days later, I got to do and in the frame with her. I got to sit down with her.
Amazing.
And we did a good hour where we were talking for, oh my God, we went in. And again, she did exactly the same thing to me through a computer screen whilst we were having that conversation.
Great.
So that's coming out on Friday. So listen out for that, people.
Okay.
She's amazing.
Yeah, I feel like I need to go and see this. Because I love that theatre.
The Almeida's lovely and intimate. Yeah.
I saw Tammy Faye. Did you ever see Tammy Faye?
Yeah.
I saw Tammy Faye there.
That was great.
it ate me, like, loved it. And that, like you say, the intimacy of that theatre, it's magical. And it what makes, I feel like, what it what makes that theatre work.
I loved it in that space, Tammy Faye. And I also loved, Secret Life of Bees in that space, because you were, like, leaning into this.
Yeah.
These places and these characters, leaning into them.
And you're close enough to it to you have no choice.
You can't fade
into the background and just watch. You know that you're...
That's interesting. It makes you invested. Yeah. There's no option. Yeah, that's a really good point. And also then to hear that talent and to see those people so up close is so special.
Yeah.
Honestly, the whole company were amazing. What's super cool is that Eleanor Worthington Cox, she plays Lily, and she was one of the original Matildas, Matilda, as a child.
No.
And here she is now.
Full circle moment.
As an adult. And oh my voice is ridiculous. Noah Thomas, who was Jamie, is amazing. But there's so many. The talent on that stage is off the scale.
One of those, you're definitely one of the casts
of the year. The only thing is that I really felt that the Rosaline character, as they got to the honey farm, she was swept under the carpet a bit. We didn't see as much from her. And she had such an impactful beginning and was played so beautifully. And then Lily kind of got a lot more airtime. Yeah. And I didn't feel too comfortable with that. I wanted to see Rosaline's story, and she definitely had a lot going on. I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah.
So that would be like my personal takeaway.
Did her story conclude?
Yeah. There was definitely resolution at the end and stuff. She kind of came back into the forefront, but... I was just a bit, I was like, wait, where is she?
Yeah, to have all that beginning and then suddenly,
yeah.
Okay, I shall look out for that.
Go and see it. It's a stunning piece.
Okay.
But it's a lot.
All right, thank you for
the recommendation. So Secret of Bees runs at the Almeida through to the 27th of May.
Oh, okay, haven't got long then.
Get on it.
chop.
Get on it. The other show that I went to see was Animal at the Park Theatre.
Okay, hit me.
And I can't actually remember why I knew when needed to see this. I think someone had recommended it, or I'd heard something. Anyway, I knew I needed to go and see this, so I went a bit late. And basically, it's an LGBT piece of theatre, right? As we know, can be hit or miss.
Yeah.
Can go in different directions. And this is about a young man who has cerebral palsy. And he has essentially never been able to have proper sexual contact with somebody, let alone kind of pleasure himself properly and feel certain things.
Wow, okay.
That is the premise of how it kind of begins, right?
Yeah, okay.
And he downloads a certain dating app.
Grindr.
Thank you, Joseph! And basically has this whole awakening and new chapter in his life and experiences. It's exploring that, and it's also exploring the friendships that he has with those around him. So he's kind of, his best friend lives with him and also kind of cares for him a bit.
It sounds very similar to the Netflix series Special.
Oh, I don't know that. This is by John Bradfield, from a story by John Bradfield and Josh Heppel.
Have you got Wi-Fi here?
A little bit.
Type in Special Netflix. I'm sure it's called Special. Because the TV series is amazing, and it sounds pretty identical, but obviously, like, I don't know if it is. We're just waiting and typing to Google. Bear with.
Oh, Special.
Here we go.
Actual Ryan O'Connell. No, it's different team.
Different.
The reason why we're drawing parallels is because there's essentially, we don't see these types of people and stories represented on stage or screen.
That's probably why it probably sounds very similar.
Yeah.
And you know, when you do see these things, they do stand out for that reason.
Yeah. Well, this was amazing because it was addressing a disability on stage, but it was also doing it with the LGBT world and those pressures and, you know, all the things that kind of come with that specific world and that sort of situation. So that was a really interesting fusion. And then it was also just the, you know, the relationships with his friends, and he has other friends who kind of care for him as well.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, his cerebral palsy meant that he can't even, you know, lift up a cup to have a drink of water himself.
Sure. Yeah.
Can't go to the toilet himself.
No.
Doesn't have independence. And I'm not going to give any spoilers away because I want people to go and see it, but it was interesting and I was into it and I was enjoying it and I cared about the characters. But then by the end of Act One, I was reeling. Something happened and I was almost, you know, beside myself. So it, in turn, what I like about it, I'm kind of discovering this as I say it. It made me think and it educated me, but without being in a preachy way. It did it in a very real and human way.
Yeah.
Rather than telling me information, I was feeling a character's emotions and seeing a story simply through their eyes and through their point of view.
I love that.
And that is the way to make impact.
Yeah.
So
that's when you know theatre's done right. It's like when it's not preachy, they're giving you the message, they're trying to tell your story or blah, 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 blah. They want you to have a shift of perspective on something, whatever it is, without it being like, and this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like when it's done in a way that's like, oh, that's what I'm thinking, but that would not what was
totally,
you know, like presented.
Exactly. And it's really interesting because LGBT theatre can sometimes just really focus in on kind of, well, either like sex and nudity, or it can be all doom and gloom, i.e. like being LGBT basically means your life is going to be really sad.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Like, and this was just a completely different...
It's going to be so sad.
But this was just a really different angle. Because this wasn't... I mean, there was like a bit of like sexiness in there, which was...
Love.
Which was fine, so it ticked those boxes. But the audience was interesting because it wasn't just gay people, it wasn't just gay men, it was all different people. And I would really encourage, if you think you can get through a gay sex scene or two, to go and see it because you're going to have your eyes opened. I mean, I'm talking to people that are non-gay.
You to get through a gay sex scene or two.
I'm talking to the non-gays that might listen to this podcast if there are already.
Is that a challenge? I don't think it is.
That's so funny. See, I think it's really interesting and you'll get really into it. And it's tackling some important issues.
I think it's interesting you highlighted just then about, you know, being an LGBT person with a disability. Obviously, that's something that I resonate with. Not only am I battling with... I battled the wrong word. I'm not battling anything. Owning my deafness, but also owning my queerness as well, and putting those two together. Like, it's almost like a double minority in some way. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's interesting that you've done that and how the with this character having cerebral palsy and obviously also figuring out who he is as a LGBT person, that standing alone made me go, I need to go and see this. Because that sounds like something that I can connect with because I understand what it is to battle those two together.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Because in... Well, there are certain standards and there can be, you know, everyone thinks it's also liberating. But there's so many pressures areas. And am I gay enough? Am I not gay enough? Am I this enough? Am I queer? Am I...
Exactly. It's all of those things. I mean, that's a whole separate podcast and that's not even theatre related. But yeah, it is all those things.
And then you've got to navigate all of that in this instance with this man who has cerebral palsy and can't go to the toilet and can't date and has never had kind of sexual pleasure, but has a right to have that. So it was genuinely fascinating, and I thought the cast were incredible. So the piece is led by Christian John Slater as David, who doesn't leave the stage and just gave the most incredible performance.
When did it until?
So this is at the Park Theatre, and it runs through to Saturday the 20th of May.
Because you're not giving me much time to see these things, are you?
I know, I'm sorry.
Two shows in the last 10 minutes where you've been like, and they both end in May.
And you work on a show schedule.
Yeah, so it's really working out for me. Great.
So let's hope they have Sunday performances.
Let's hope they do. Sundays. Otherwise, I'm going to be like, that was a great show, Andrew. Thanks for the recommendation.
Well, hopefully I've made you feel that you have seen it.
You have, and you absolutely should be recommending. So please go and see the two shows. They sound great.
To be fair, if you don't want recommendations, don't come on the West End Road show. Next time you come in a week when I'm like telling you about things that I've hated.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Whenever that happens. But listen, you are an amazing co-host. Thank you for coming back.
I love being on here. Honestly, it's just so nice to just talk and, you know.
Just get to say to you, listen, well, good luck with the rest of your sabbatical.
Thank you.
I need to come and see Moulin Rouge soon. And I do, I'll think of you running around.
Running around like a headless chicken, being like, we need a choker!
Yeah,
and
you do.
I can't wait to see what you get up to next. Okay. I have something for you, right? Okay. So we have some new West End Frame merch.
Oh my god!
Because before you got a mug last time,
I got
right?
a mug which so I have proudly at home.
Well, you're now the first person to have a mug and this new item.
Oh gosh, so what is that?
It's made of fully recyclable material.
Oh,
and it is.
Oh my god, is that a tote bag?
It's your very own
my god,
West End Frame tote bag.
Oh, thank you so much. It's gorgeous.
You can wear it with pride.
I will. I will wear it proudly.
Strut around town.
Sure, I'm going to the gym now, so I'm going to have this at the gym.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I really appreciated it. And again, I love being on here. So not same time next year.
But yeah, we'll book it sure. in. We'll book it in reception on the way out.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And thank you so much for listening to this episode of the West End Frame Show. Make sure you subscribe, and if you enjoyed today's episode, you can leave us an Apple Podcast or Spotify rating and review. We love hearing from you, so follow West End Frame on Instagram, TikTok and Facebook. Check out our interviews podcast In The Frame. As I mentioned, this week's guest is Rachel John from The Secret Life of Bees, and she is an absolute ledge. OG Angelica and Hamilton. We talked about We Will Rock You. We went in. It was fascinating. And I'll be back next week for another Stagey Catch-Up. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you. Bye.